Now, back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Till my leg give out, can't shut my mouth. Till the smoke clears out, and my eyes turn out. I'ma rip this till my bone. There we go. That's some big city music right there. Okay?
Heck yeah.
What kind of music you like?
Hip hop.
There you go. Matt Adams is with us, former Cardinal first baseman, now playing for the Atlanta Braves. Kim Wallace is here, his trainer, Pilates for Pros. We'll talk with Natasha Kwan from Frieda's in University City coming up very, very soon. I'm Andy Strickland. We've got Hockey Sense coming your way in the 1 o'clock hour as well. George McPhee, the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, will join me, and David Perron will also join me. And I want to pass this along as well. Colton Pareko, by the way, who got hurt last night in the third period, didn't return, is expected to play tomorrow. Took that shot off the right hand. Then, like, a minute later, Joel Evanson takes a shot off the right hand. He came back and finished the game. So that was kind of scary. But the Blues win another game last night. They take on the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow night in Vegas for the first time in franchise history. Baseball players have to be jealous of that.
Yeah.
Playing
of
in
course,
Vegas.
Yeah.
They got three nights there.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody on the Blackhawks the other day. He goes, we're spending four nights in Vegas.
That could be trouble. You know, there might be some guys that might not show up to that game.
Don't they have a AAA team or something there?
Yeah, I think they're...
In Reno.
Is it Reno?
No, they're right there in Las Vegas. Yeah.
The Wranglers or Rattlers or something?
No, the 59ers, I think they were whenever I
played
back
there. Maybe
that's
the arena football team I'm thinking of.
But yeah, I think they're the New York Mets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when you play there then?
Yeah.
So you guys go there, I mean... Everybody's just looking forward for the game to end, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get the game over. The Blues are staying there Saturday night after the game, too. So I'll give them credit. I would imagine maybe a rookie dinner will be taking place or something.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good city to spend a couple nights for sure.
Yeah. They had the expansion draft last year. I didn't see anybody upset that they were taking it, except David Perron. He talked about it because he said St. Louis felt like home to him, felt like he could have been better in the playoffs, and was a little disappointed that he got taken in the expansion draft. So we look forward to that. The Blues play their first game in Vegas in the National Hockey League tomorrow night. Vegas is 5-1, by the way. They've gotten off to a great start. Matt Adams has been with us here. We appreciate you coming by the way. Do you hang out here the whole offseason or what?
Yeah.
Do you?
Last year was the first year that I, kind of went away from home back in PA. And I just fell in love with this city from day one whenever I got called up. And I'm going to make this home now.
So we ask this all the time. What's it like playing for the Cardinals in St. Louis? I mean, is it really different than playing in other places? I mean, I don't want you to take a shot at Atlanta because that's a great place to play as well, and they have a lot of history. But being a Cardinal, what's that like?
It's special. I mean, you know where you're getting from your fans on a nightly basis. You know, you show up, the place is going to be sold out, and they're going to be behind you, no matter if you're playing good or if you're playing bad. They're going to cheer you on, and they want nothing but the best. And it was a great organization to come up with, and just see how like Cardinal Nation really comes out and supports their players.
Who'd you come up with in the system that's in the big leagues now playing for the Cardinals?
With the Cardinals, not too many left.
No,
I came up with Shelby Miller and Joe Kelly. Joe's with Boston, and Shelby's with Arizona now.
Shelby was in Atlanta, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got traded last year, I think it was. But, there's not too many guys that I came up with that are with the Cardinals right now.
The grind of playing in the minor leagues, like, do you always believe that you'll eventually get to the big leagues? And that's got to be hard. Like, I'll use hockey for an example. Most guys who are drafted high, and probably same for baseball if you're a high pick, but, I mean, you start, even a high pick in baseball, if you sign out of high school, you're starting at the very bottom, and you got to perform to get there, right? Hockey, you probably get an opportunity. If you're a first-round pick, you're going to get a chance to blow it if you're not good enough to make it, but you're probably going to get an opportunity to play some games. Baseball, I'm just imagining it's a grind because there's so many different levels in the minors that you have to get to just to get to the big leagues. I mean, it's got to be such a relief. But then you get there, and it's like, okay, now I'm here. Now I got to find a way to stay, which is even more difficult.
Yeah. There's, like you said, there's just so many guys that get drafted every year and go into the minor league systems. And, for me, I enjoyed going every different level because every level I was at, I learned something different. Mm-hmm. So it was cool. But my mindset was always that I wanted to, play nothing but baseball. That's what I wanted to do for – for a living, and, you know, I made my dream come true. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is it's harder to stay here than get here.
Yeah.
I think it's more mental up here at this level than in the minors. So everybody up in the majors has the talent to play. So it's, you know, the pitchers are adjusting to the hitters have to adjust to the pitching, and it's just that constant battle of, you know, making the adjustments day in and day out.
Do you find the level from AAA to the big leagues that much different in terms of the pitching? Just because now you've got high school seniors who are throwing 95, you know, 95 plus. It's like you won't even get a sniff from a scout if you're not throwing 90 plus nowadays.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
which is why all these guys are getting hurt.
Yeah, guys are throwing the ball really, really hard right now. But I think, you know, the difference between AAA and the big leagues is just, you know, the accuracy. Guys, you know, guys up here can put the ball and more. They can do with their off-speed pitches too.
Mm-hmm.
Down there, they can locate the fastball, but, you know, they may, you know, make mistakes with their changeups or their curveballs. But up here, you know, guys, the dominant guys up here, they can put, you know, two or three pitches wherever they want it.
We talked about all the stuff you did off the field with Kim, but you've also turned into a pretty reliable baseball player on the field. Like, who's had the biggest impact on your career on the field? And let's start with the Cardinals. Like, who impacted you the most on the field to truly give you the confidence to believe that you could play at this level and be a good ball player?
I think, you know, from a coach standpoint, I think it was Kendo.
Okay.
Kendo had a big, big role in helping me, you know, believe that I was good enough to play at this level. And John Mabry, you know, I really liked him, and I connected well with him.
Yeah.
He was a good guy to have, and, you know, he was always that bug in your ear saying that, you know, you
he's
can
smart,
do it.
Man. He knows the game, doesn't he?
He is very, very smart, yeah.
Okendo, too, but, I mean, different in terms of, like, talking baseball with Mabry is just like you're just trying to follow what he's saying. He's speaking like 150 miles an hour. It's like, what did he say? You know, but he's very, very intelligent.
Yeah, them too, and then I got the chance to work with Rick Strickland last year.
No relation to me. Rick Strickland, no, who's this?
He runs a hitting facility out St. Charles area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Elite Baseball Training here.
Here local, huh?
Or it might be Sandlot Elite.
Okay.
But, yeah, locally. And I got in touch with him through the dietitian that Kim is real good friends with, Angie Ashy. Her husband, Cody, played for the Phillies for a little bit, and he was with the White Sox organization last year.
Okay.
So he put me in touch with him and, you know, went really the work that I was doing with Kim and the way that Rick talks about swinging is, you know, the same that, you know, the mentality that Kim has is just swinging with your body instead of swing with your arm. So it's just a more efficient way of, you know, being in the batter's box and getting the job done. But, you know, John Jay and David Fries were the two guys that really took me under their wing whenever, you know, I was coming up as a rookie here with the Cardinals. And they, you know, they just showed me the way to go about my business. You know, keep my head down and do the little things right, and just go out there and compete.
John Jay, another Blues fan. He'd always be at the Blues games too. He's always hanging out with the little guy. I'm forgetting his name. Good utility infielder. Really cool guy.
Scalzo? Descalzo?
It might have been. Yeah, it was Descalzo,
yeah.
Actually. They were always together.
Good.
Always
buddies.
Had a different pair of Jordans on too.
Oh,
man. He's got an unbelievable sneaker.
He's got I think probably 200 little cubbies, probably more than 200.
Really?
He built a house in Miami, and he told me that his closet's just full of little cubbies that, like, see through cubbies that he can pull out and see what Jordans he's going to wear that day. So he's all about his shoes for sure.
You know, that era of Cardinal baseball, it seemed like you guys were all really close. You guys were all around the same age. You guys all seemed to hang out together. I mean, am I reading that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, my first couple of years coming up, we did a lot of stuff, you know, off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, team dinners that, you know, the veteran guys would get the, you know, the younger guys together, and we would just do stuff as a team. And I think that goes unnoticed for the most part is, you know, the clubhouse chemistry that you have to have to be good through a 162 game season. That's very, very important, and that's what those guys did. You know, my first couple of years, the veteran leadership that we had was unbelievable.
The grind of playing professional baseball, like every day in the heat, 162 games, I mean, how do you stay focused, like mentally dealing with it? I got to imagine it's a challenge at times, right?
Yeah, for sure. Especially, I mean, it's easier to go through that grind whenever you're winning games and whatnot, and you're putting up numbers, you're doing good defensively and offensively. But you know, when you're struggling, that's the hard part. Showing up every day, ready to go out there and compete. But you know, everybody in this game in professional sports for that has one goal in mind whenever they show up for the season. That's get to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And I think that mindset really helps you really just stay focused and, you know, keep that tunnel vision to, you know, get through the long season.
All right, so you grew up, Matt Adams, by the way, is with us. You grew up in Pennsylvania. Were you always a standout baseball player? You play other sports too or no?
I tried to play other sports.
You look like a football player, man. You could have played some football.
I played 7th grade football, and that was it.
That was it?
Yeah, because I was always way bigger than everybody I was going up against, and I was always afraid
to hurt somebody.
I got a big heart, so like I was always worried that I was going to crush a little running back that I had to go tackle. So I tried it. Didn't that sport wasn't really for me. I played basketball up till my 10th grade year, I think it was, and then 11th and 12th grade I just really focused on baseball
because
I knew
dunk?
That's no.
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 You can't throw
white
it down?
White man can't jump.
Come on now. What are you, 6'4"?
6'3".
6'3"?
Yeah.
You got to throw it down.
No. I was close my senior year. I could get there, but I couldn't get the ball in the rim. I was always hitting it off the little square right next to the backboard. So it's that's not my thing either.
But you went the Division II route, right? No Division I sniffs?
Yeah, actually, I had probably a 75% ride to go to University of Pitt.
Really?
And they said that my testing scores were not good, so I retested, got the scores that I needed to get in there, and then they said that they brought in, you know, two other. I was a catcher in high school and college, so they said that they brought in two other catchers that were better than me, and they offered me a walk-on spot, but I knew if I would go to a big school that just brought in two good catchers and I would walk on, I wasn't going to sniff the playing field. And my whole thing was I wanted to go and play immediately. I didn't want to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
So my high school coach knew the coach at Slippery Rock, so gave him a call and was like, hey, I got a guy that, you know, could probably help you out if you need another player. So he came and watched me a couple games in the playoffs my senior year and fell in love with me and went there and had a great relationship with that coach. And you know, had three great years of Slippery Rock.
Yeah, that worked out, man.
Yeah.
I mean, never even heard of Slippery Rock, right?
You could be not making, a lot of people
you
have.
You could be making up that score for all I know. But you're the D2 National Player of the Year. So when did you start getting some real attention from pro scouts?
I think after my sophomore year. I had a really good freshman year at Slippery Rock. Went back home and played summer ball. Had a great sophomore year. And then I went up to the NECBL Collegiate League up in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and was the MVP of that league. And I think that was really whenever the scouts started knowing, because I was going up against big D1 guys up there and put up great numbers up there. And then I think that really, you know, drew the scouts to, you know, really come out the Slippery Rock. And then we had a pro day in the fall of my junior year and had a really good pro day there. And then it just kind of the rest is history.
And the Cardinals draft you or no?
Yes.
They did?
Yeah.
What
23rd round.
No, they have like 80 rounds in baseball.
50.
I could never cover the baseball draft.
Yeah,
like, it would take like 5 days.
It's long. I was sitting. It was a long day for me on draft day. I talked with the Cardinals, but never had serious talks with them on draft day. I was talking with like the Mets and Yankees, and they were saying that I could go, you know, anywhere from the 10th to 12th round, and I slid the whole way to the 23rd round. So it was kind of a long day on draft day.
So being a D2 guy, I mean, it's not like you went to Arizona State or something like that. I mean, you always had to prove yourself, right? Did you believe that you'd be able to get to this level and have success and truly be an everyday ball player?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, if I didn't have that confidence, I wouldn't be where I am today. But I mean, like you said, I was the, you know, kind of the middle round guy that, you know, not sure if we're going to keep this guy or whatnot, but every level I went to, I put up good numbers and, you know, just kind of got my opportunities and you know, made the most of them.
And now you're a free agent, right? You're restricted.
No, I got one more year
one
of
more
arbitration.
Year?
Yeah.
Of arbitration, okay.
Yep.
So We'll see what happens in terms of, you'll be back in Atlanta, right? That's the plan, right?
That's the plan right now. But yeah, this off season, I could change teams again.
People are talking about maybe you play in the American League. Whatever. I mean, how important is it to be a guy who plays in the field too, or would you be open to being a DH if it came down to that?
I'd be open for DH. I think the American League there's more opportunities for me because I mean I could play first or DH, mm-hmm. and sparingly in left field if I continue to work at that and get better at that. But no, I think I'm more locked in whenever I'm playing defense and, you know, being able to go up the bat. But yeah, it's just a different mindset as a DH. You know, you got to come up with a routine, kind of like a guy coming off the bench, mm-hmm. you know, getting ready to for that one at bat. But, you know, DH, you know you're going to get four or five at bats a night. So yeah, it's you just got to come up with a mindset to keep yourself ready and stay loose.
Okay. All right. Let's take another break. When we come back, Natasha Kwan will join us from Frieda's in University City. We got a lot to get into with her, by the way. She's had some stuff going on away from the restaurant, with the restaurant. We won't get into all that. But we have some congratulations are in order with you. We got a lot of stuff to get into with Natasha and talk about Frieda's in University City. Kim Wallace is also here from Pilates for Pros. Is that the name of your business, too?
Yes.
Making sure I'm not messing that up.
No.
Where's that located again?
We are in Brentwood on Hanley.
And if people want to call you, they want to come in for, like, can they make an appointment to come in?
They can go to the website, which is just Pilates, the number 4pros.com. And then my class schedule is up there and all the events, they're up there.
Okay, Pilates4pros.com. And what's the website one more time?
Pilatesforpros.com.
That's pretty easy. I should be able to remember that. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back with Natasha Kwan right after this. Don't go anywhere.